Well, welcome to the Monday Minute. This is part of the Hunt Backcountry podcast. And as you may know, on the Monday Minute, we kind of step aside from a full episode and talk about really anything, something timely, something new, answer a listener question. The format can change for sure. And this episode is no exception. We're not talking with Steve today, my co-host, but actually interviewing a guy named Gabriel about a product that I worked with him on. That was pretty cool. He contacted me out of the blue last summer and just kind of asked if I had ever looked at pack holsters, for a sidearm that work on our hip belt. And clearly I had. I had tried a ton of different models. And he had some ideas for what he thought might work particularly well just for a pack. So there's holsters for concealed carry. There's holsters for recreational shooting, holsters for competition shooting. But those are not designed to work for a pack in a hunting scenario. And so long story short is over the past 5-6 months, something like that, we've been working through refining a holster that works ideally well for our pack system. And we talk a little bit about that today. The holsters are available today. Just so you guys know, in terms of like Exo Mountain Gear, we make zero pennies off of any purchase if you decide to make one. We don't have any formal business relationship, so this isn't us pushing a product so we can make some money. This is just us going, hey, here's a really good holster option if you want to carry a sidearm on your pack really well and have a holster that's specifically designed for pack use and not just something that works, but something that works well. So we talk about the development, we talk about some of the different features that this holster has, certain design elements that make it work well with the pack, and really just talk to Gabriel. He's a one-man shop, as you'll hear, and it's really, really neat to see him build every holster by hand. The fit and finish and everything is really cool. You're going to get personal service if you do decide to go with him, and I just like hearing stories, business guys, guys building things by hand on their own in the U.S. Gabriel's a hunter, just a really good dude. So we talk about that. As you'll hear, you can go to Ivory Holsters if you want to check out the model that we're talking about today. And as always, if you have any other questions, comments, feedback, shoot us an email to podcast@exomountaingear.com. And here's this discussion with Gabriel. Gabriel, welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast, man.
Mark, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, excited to chat. This has been cool. As I mentioned in the intro, you had reached out to us really with, I don't think any, the way, it's funny, usually when people want something, you can clearly tell it up front, even if they're not being super blunt. And when you had reached out to me, I knew that you were super genuine, not about what did you want from us, but more like, hey, I have this idea, I'd love to get your feedback on it. And it ends up, now that we're talking about a brand new holster model from you, which is awesome, but I know that you wasn't necessarily your intent up front, so I'm just curious to even hear more about it. I don't know if I've asked you directly. What was it that drove you to think specifically about holsters on packs and then eventually reach out to us?
So I hung with a bunch of guys and we all kind of have a hodgepodge of packs. And so we've tried a bunch of us and me being a holster maker that I've tried a bunch for them too. They kind of get them as gifts every year. And so we tried a lot of stuff that just wasn't working. And I think one of the biggest things that a lot of hunters can relate to, especially if you're packing out something heavy, is having that holster under the hip belt is excruciating. And so that was really the draw for me. I'm not a great hunter by any means, but my group almost always ends up packing out meat. And boy, that has just been that digging into the hip has just been horrible. So that really, the pain is what really brought me to want to build something better for, a pack holster.
Cool. Yeah, we get the question all the time of, what's a good holster that works with your pack, or even, do you guys sell holsters? And we clearly don't. But for the answer for us for a long time was there's a lot of holsters that'll work well. And that's the truth. There's a lot of holsters out there that will work. Like, they will attach to our hip belts. We have 1.5-inch webbing, and so you can, you know, slide on a paddle style holster. You can add a holster with clips. I've tried numerous holsters, but there was nothing out there that I thought this is like the ideal, or this is really built with some intention of being used for a pack and in a hunting scenario. And so I was excited as we talked further about actually making that happen. So I guess let's talk about the, you know, the holster we ended up developing, the we're just calling it the EMG holster for Exo Mountain Gear. It's based off of one of your other designs. So tell us about that design and then just begin to highlight some of the differences of what actually is different now for the EMG and why.
So the original design of the, people call it a pancake holster. So essentially it's two pieces of 0.08 Kydex with the gun sandwiched between. The cool thing about the original design was it's called the Monarch. And so it's got a 90-10 split design where the flat part, the flatter part, the 10% of the definition sits against the body. So it's super comfortable. That design has quick clips. And so there is essentially an open clip that mounts to whatever belt you want to wear really securely, but you don't have to take your belt off to get it on, which is a huge draw for me. And then they hold the belt really nice and tight, or they hold the holster really nice and tight to the body. So it sits, I mean, if you wanted to carry concealed, obviously you got to dress around it, but if you want to carry concealed outside the waistband, that's the one that gets it done. So when you and I started talking, I think we sent at least, it was like our third or fourth version of it before we got it right. And man, I sent one that had we sent one that went between the pad and the webbing. We sent one that goes on the outside, and your feedback was just invaluable in that to be able to get it right. So difference there, it's still the same 08 Kydex, it's still the same curved 90-10 split design. These clips sit on the back though, and they're specifically built for a Molly style webbing, or in this case, the 1.5-inch webbing. And so they sit nice and tight to the belt. It's got a spring loaded bar that locks them into place. So once it's on there, you make sure that it's clicked in place, that it sits perfectly in place there. The last little couple of versions, we decided we're going to cant it forward as you and I talked. So there was some value in that kind of the gun being presenting itself to your hand. And then the very last thing, being able to build that sweat guard all the way up to the top on both sides of the slide, just because I've gone through the brush before and I've had my, in this case, $650 gun just get throttled with brush and going through some of that thick backcountry stuff. And it's just, I tell myself it's a tool, right? And I shouldn't worry about that stuff. And it doesn't matter that it gets dirty, but man, I get it home and it just hurts a little bit. So we decided to build the sweat guard up on both sides so that it kind of protects at the very least the metal parts, the slide. That's the final version that we came up with. So it's very similar. The Monarch comes with a straight draw. Very simply, the differences are that it's got a canted forward design. It's got those webbing style clips, and then the sweat guard on both sides to kind of protect the slide.
Yeah. For me, the attachment system was huge. In my mind, the perfect attachment was obviously really, really secure. So it wasn't sliding back and forth on the hip belt too much. It wasn't rocking or tilting on the hip belt too much. It stayed in place well when you took the pack off. So as you take the pack off, the hip belt loses some tension. I didn't want the holster to be flopping around too much because that's something I've experienced in the past. And I also still would like the opportunity to take the holster off relatively easily. If guys are dropping their pack and want to take it with them or want to transition it, you know, to another carry mechanism, something like that. And it was cool to see how we could achieve all that with that one simple mounting system. So I'm just really, really happy on that. And then, as you mentioned, the other, you know, we played with, I think I have like four different versions that we kind of kept mailing stuff back and forth, and I kept testing. And that forward cant, it definitely helps with a pack as well. And especially as you get, you know, sometimes I'll have just other stuff. Like I'll have my bugle tube slung over, or I'll have just other gear, right? And that forward cant just helps it to be a little bit more accessible in the midst of everything else going on, I would say, with all the other gear that you tend to have when you're hunting. And for me, it came back to comfort. Like that, what you were saying with the pre-curve and everything else, it really makes a difference. And I think part of that's going to depend on your firearm size, as well as what you may or may not notice with some of the holsters. Right. You can get away, obviously, if you have a much smaller firearm, with maybe not everything being perfect, but there's definitely certain weapon platforms where you have more weight, you need more security, you need more balance, and I think all that's going to pay off with this system. One thing I don't think we mentioned yet, and this was kind of high on my list as well, was so many times I've used an open bottomed holster, and you know, you're taking your pack on and off throughout the day, and you set your pack down and you just realize you set your barrel right in a whole bunch of dirt or debris or what have you. And so, you know, with this one, it's a fully closed bottom, or depending on options with a longer slide, you do a crowned bottom. So tell us about that, and maybe give us some differences on when you can go full closed versus crowned, and why, based on the firearm choice.
Yeah, so some of the, I've had the exact same thing happen when you fill your barrel full of snow or dirt or whatever, and it's just an incredible pain. And so that's why we went with the closed bottom. For the bomb arc, normally we try and do an open bottom. I've heard of guys being at the range shooting and then having a piece of brass get, you know, flipped out and end up in the holster, and then they can't reholster very easily anyway without having to take the holster off or dig for the brass in there and stuff like that. So I've kind of come to really like the open bottom design for that Monarch style, where it's open. If it's raining or whatever, it's not pooling up in there and causing your firearm to rust. But there's so much value as a hunter in having that closed bottom design. And really, it's a matter of just being able to kind of literally massage that kydex in the forming process. Use it to, it's vacuum formed down. So most guns are short enough to be able to make that closed bottom design. There are a couple of the molds that I use that have more of an extended barrel. And so on those ones that have an extended barrel, as far as the mold goes, those would be the ones that are can be crowned. I can still do the closed bottom design, and I'm kind of up in the air on that as to whether or not we just go full closed. But the crowned design is long enough past the barrel of the gun where it's not going to let a whole bunch of dirt in there, but it gives you that that hole in the bottom to let whatever water, snow, things like that out of it. So that's kind of where that came from. The more I use that closed bottom design, though, the more I fall in love with it. The chances of having stuff stuck in your holster while you're actually using your firearm and not being able to reholster are fairly slim. And so I'm seeing more and more value in just closing it off altogether.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing. That's a really good point. We're not, you know, some of the decisions we've made with this design specifically would not be optimal if you're in a situation such as recreational shooting per se, or obviously clearly competition shooting, where reholstering is a big priority. That's simply not right. Something we were even considering. We are optimizing carrying and comfort and security and protection. And since we're building a holster for a situation where it's only used if it has to be used, God forbid, then reholstering right. just isn't high on the list of, well, we should do this because it makes reholstering easier. Another situation of that is what you mentioned earlier with the high sweat guard. Obviously, the more kydex you have up high there and kind of covering the slide, you have to be a little bit more intentional about reholstering. But that's just not what we're designing for with this model, I would say.
No, exactly. And I would say the same to the opposite of the reholster is the draw. You're definitely not going to win any quick draw contest with this this big, but that's, like you said, it's purpose built. It's not what it's built for. We want to be able to protect our gun, have it should we need it, and not so worried about being able to reholster quickly.
Yeah. Something, and this is not unique to the EMG rig, but is really built into, I think, all of your models, is the customizable retention. So as you said, draw, it made me think of it. Talk a little bit about, if users are unfamiliar with, dialing in retention with a Kydex holster.
Yeah, so a couple of the things that you'll see out of a good holster is we try and put a few thousandths of an inch gap between the slide and the actual Kydex. And not that you're not going to get some holster wear, but it shouldn't be excessive. And so a lot of most of your retention, if not all of your retention, should be in the trigger guard. Unless you've got a light-bearing rig, and then most of the time it's going to be on the light that's on the firearm as well. Outside of that, it drives me crazy at times when I look at holsters, especially Kydex holsters online, that the ejection port hasn't been blocked out. I mean, you can see a divot where the ejection port is. So every time I see that, I know that that guy, every time he draws, his slide is going to rub against that portion of the Kydex, and it's going to cause an abnormal amount of wear that really is unnecessary. So as far as retention goes, we put a retention screw just under the dust cover in it forward of the trigger, and you can really wrench that thing down to a level where it's almost impossible to get it out. You have a hard time drawing it. I've got a couple of buddies, one specifically that I hung with this year, that I made one for him with a different set of clips based on, he's using an old military pack, but he's constantly touching it and trying to make sure that his gun is still in the holster, and he's feeling around for it to the point where he wanted me to put some sort of a thumb brake retention device over it. And we hunted for a good, throughout the season, probably 7 days together. Like you said, the pack is on, it's off. And I think if you've got that retention screw dialed to the right level, you're not really going to have to ever worry about it falling out. Even when you take your pack off, put it back on, all of that stuff. To the point where I've almost got him at the level where I don't have to make him a new holster with some sort of a thumb brake on it. He's just now starting to trust it like I do. But it's nice because you can, if you're at the range and you do want to practice, and you should, right, you want to practice, you can draw your weapon and loosen it, keep it fairly loose, and for your draw stroke and all that, you can practice with it at the range. But then when you get down into the woods and you're worried about sticks hanging up on the grip and trying to pull at it, I know that I've, on some pretty steep climbs, ended up literally upside down with my foot hanging in a piece of scrub oak at times. So if you've got it dialed, it's not going to fall out. That adjustability to it. There's a couple other things as far as like the adjustable. You can adjust the cant slightly. I don't know if you mess with it at all, Mark, yeah, or not, but you can adjust the cant slightly and then the ride height as well. So yeah, it's kind of wanted to, not a catch-all. I mean, the whole the perfect one for all occasions, but that adjustability makes a big difference.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I guess the only thing left, and I just started playing with this, I got some of the quick clips that you had from the Monarch, is worth mentioning, is you can change this from the attachments that's going to come with, which are specific really to the hip belt and work incredibly well for that. And you can change it over to the quick clip. So if you do want one holster system that will work well in your pack, and then that can work well as a good just outside the waistband holster with a standard belt. I think, Gabriel, did you set it up where you can just order the extra clips with it, or how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's an option on the site. You pick your model, your color, all that, and then there's an option for to add the quick clips to it as well. I think they're $10 more.
Okay, cool. Yeah, speaking of the site, where should people go to check this out or to look at placing an order or anything like that?
That's the landing page for the EMG is ivoryholsters.com/exo, I believe. But you can go to just ivoryholsters.com, and it's right there on the front page. If you click on shop now, there's a bunch of options there as well. But yeah, ivoryholsters.com is the place to go for it.
Awesome. And just so people kind of know what's going on behind the scenes, when they place an order, how many employees do you have?
It's just me.
That's the
one
point.
One guy. Well, I think
everything
I
think, by I hand, right?
It is, and it's all, yeah, exactly, hand built. I mean, there's a holster that leaves the shop, it's because I formed it, cut it, shaped it, test fitted it, mounted the clips, all of it. It's just me. So right now we're running about a week. I think that's probably what you're getting. We're running about a week lead time on stuff, but I know that just from the output that you guys have done with the Instagram and Facebook posts, the orders have gone up fairly significantly. And so I'm confident at times, especially the closer we get to hunting season, it'll bump up to 2, 3, 4 weeks. But I will definitely do everything I can to get you guys taken care of.
Yeah. If guys have specific questions, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Is there just a contact form through the website, or how should they go about that?
Yeah, there is. So you go to the site, you can click on contact, and there's a, I think the phone number's on there as well. If I don't answer, obviously I'll get right back to you. But on there, I think probably the best way is to go through the site and just click on contact. It sends me an email with a question, and I can reply fairly quickly. And then if you happen to be on Instagram, you can DM, or on Facebook, you can private message any of those as well, and I'll answer as quick as I can.
Yeah, and that's just Ivory Holsters on like the social platforms?
You got it. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Gabriel.